Update, brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Wednesday, 13th of March, 2024, from Manx Radio. 30 minutes looking at the latest news on the island. Background to that news and sport and business and Sea Watch and the travel updates. And the newsmakers in person this evening. Queen Camilla will be on the Isle of Man next week, declaring Douglas a city. No toilet breaks during lessons at Bella Camine. More questions for the Manx Development Corporation. A Canadian visitor warns on the sister dying and the assistance dog that changed a life.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Chanel Suku.
Fastamai, Queen Camilla will visit the Isle of Man next week as she officially declares Douglas a city. She will preside over a ceremony at Douglas City Hall on Wednesday. The Mananan berthed at the Isle of Man ferry terminal in Liverpool for the first time today. The exercise was part of the commissioning trial for the facility. And drivers are being reminded to obey the temporary speed limit signs on the A3 Ramsey to Castletown Road at McGuinness's Corner. A 40-mile-per-hour limit is in place as the DOI deal with a collapsed roadside culvert. In international news, the Post Office Minister says the UK government will overturn the convictions of sub-postmasters in England and Wales as quickly as possible. Kevin Holland-Rigg's been setting out government legislation which also provides compensation to those caught up in the Horizon scandal. Five people have been taken to hospital after a bus crashed into a block of flats in Paisley. It happened at around lunchtime and the driver was one of those treated by paramedics. And 150 tons of aid from the UK has entered Gaza today, including hundreds of tents, thousands of blankets and sleeping mats. Those were your headlines. News at 6.
Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's guidance on powers of attorney and more. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Karamaya, thank you, Chanel. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, some occasional strong winds in the North Irish Sea. Stay to sea, mainly moderate and rough tomorrow morning. Periodic drizzle this evening on a light to moderate westerly, backing easterly as the night goes on. Overnight minimum is 7 degrees. For Thursday, Jordan, wet and windy first thing, fresh to strong south, southwesterly. It'll be drier after lunchtime, daylight maximum 12 degrees, down to 6 through the night. And for Friday, a wet start, then bright and sunny intervals later on the moderate to fresh southwesterly, backing northwesterly up to 12 degrees on Friday. The sun sets this evening at 20 past 6, low water 2 minutes before 8, high water 16 minutes before 2 a.m., sunrise 26 minutes before 7. The morning low water at 3 minutes before 8, and there is fog on the mountain road tonight.
Manx Glass and Glazing are proud to be an approved contractor with Construction Isle of Man. Call the team on 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Her Majesty Queen Camilla will visit the Isle of Man next week as she officially declares Douglas a city. Chanel's back with the detail.
The island's capital was given the accolade as part of the celebrations for Queen Elizabeth II's Platinum Jubilee in May 2022. Camilla will preside over a ceremony at Douglas City Hall on Wednesday, after which she will unveil a commemorative plaque before meeting well-wishers outside. She will then be escorted to Government House, where she will be introduced to a number of representatives from local charities and community groups. Mayor of Douglas Council, Natalie Byron Tia, says it is with enormous pride that the council looks forward to welcoming Her Majesty to Douglas. She adds this will be an historic moment and one that all those who attend will remember for a long time. Further details will be confirmed over the next few days to allow residents and other well-wishers to gather and welcome Camilla. Council leader Claire Wells says she's sure there will be a throng of crowds to greet Her Majesty when she arrives at City Hall. Douglas was one of eight communities in the British Isles to receive the city honour.
Students at Ballacameen High School have been told they're not allowed to leave lessons to go to the toilet unless they have a medical issue or it's an extraordinary situation. That story with Siobhan Fletcher.
The head teacher has written to parents and carers to inform them that increased supervision around toilets is being put into place. Graeme Corran says it's part of efforts to ensure the school is creating a classroom environment that is conducive to effective learning and will help make every second count. He says too many students are requesting to leave lessons to go to the toilet, and as a result, they are missing large chunks of lesson time and learning. Parents and carers are being asked to encourage their children to use the toilet before school or at break times or lunchtime instead. Pupils are being reminded that multiple occupancy of toilet cubicles is not permitted. Anyone caught breaking this rule has been warned they could be suspended. Several toilet cubicles at the Douglas Secondary School are out of action due to vandalism. There is CCTV in the toilet areas, but this does not cover the cubicles themselves. The letter also highlights that school attendance is significantly below the target of 95%. Well, in response to this letter, Manx Radio contacted the Department of Health and Social Care and Ballacameen directly, and as a result, the head teacher has come out in defence of the secondary school's new rules around visiting the toilets during lesson time. In a statement to Manx Radio, Mr. Corran says there will of course be times and situations where students need to leave lessons, and teachers are able to show understanding and use their professional judgment and discretion. He says on one day this week, 163 students were permitted to leave lessons for a number of reasons. Mr. Corran says they are embedding a culture at Ballacameen where every second of learning time counts. He says this means we are working together, adults and students, as a team. He adds, in my letter to parents, I outlined the rationale for the actions that we have taken regarding toilet facilities, which are intended to ensure that lesson time is not missed.
Pastor Mai, good evening. 23 minutes before 6 on update tonight. No departure or arrival delays reported at Ronald's Way so far. A Douglas Central MHK is questioned. Who will manage the new senior living accommodation, which could be built on a brownfield site in Douglas? The Manx Development Corporation's proposals for Westmoreland Village and 133 new homes received the nod last month. But Chris Thomas, MHK, told the Treasury Minister, Dr. Allinson, much of the plan still is unclear.
It's basically Manx Development Corporation going to exist for 15 years and become a housing association, letting out the proposed senior living block apartments and perhaps the other apartments in Westmoreland Village. Because I do note in that public planning document that the developer, Manx Development Corporation, has said that following a detailed cost exercise on the project, if we, Manx Development Corporation, were to build and sell the apartments and commercial unit at current market value, which was informed by three estate agents, we would lose over £2 million. And this loss doesn't include factoring in any affordable housing, which is what this senior living block is, into the model, which would only make this loss greater. The only business model, finance model, which works for this development is to refurbish and then retain the building for rent over 15 years.
What the Manx Development Corporation are doing is developing a brownfield site. It's quite clear that development of these sites is above and beyond the cost of a normal development of the site, which is why they've lain vacant for so long and why the MDC was created in the first place to actually spur on development. The Honourable Member is quite right. When they've done their calculations to actually get a positive return, but still far less than that would be expected in the commercial sector, that renting these new homes is the best way of getting that return. However, long term, it may be that these are then transferred to another entity, whether that be in the private sector or a future housing association. But certainly at the moment, the main impetus is to provide much needed homes for people to live in the centre of Douglas.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wynn.
Seven households on the island have had to register their surveillance equipment with the Information Commissioner since fresh advice was published by the authority last month. That's despite hundreds of queries to the body, which recently highlighted who needs to pay a statutory fee and who is exempt. Interim Information Commissioner Stuart Haynes says there's a level of misunderstanding about the guidance.
We put out some guidance around how we collect fees for our registration purposes, so that's how how we're funded really is through a levy on data processors and controllers. A subsection of that guidance was about Ring doorbells and doorbells that use CCTV within them to capture for domestic purposes. Really, the thrust of our guidance was if you use those devices for non-domestic purposes, you need to further read our guidance because you may be required to register and pay a fee.
What's the response been?
We've had a lot of response. Yeah, we had a lot of phone calls initially, which we were able to sort of help people with. The headlines that went out perhaps gave people the impression that if you had a Ring doorbell, you had to register with the regulator, which people would have put two and two together and said, right, I've got a Ring doorbell, I must register, which means I must pay a fee, which wasn't the guidance. So we've had numerous calls, numerous emails, lots of traffic, lots of people asking whether they're required to register. And yeah, we'd be much more concerned, I think, if there were thousands of people who've come to register with us, because we would have seen that as a real issue. In real terms, since we put out the guidance, only 7 new registrations have come in for domestic purposes. So that seems commensurate with our view of what the issue would have been initially. And I think we can perhaps sort of say, well, after all that guidance and all the questions have been answered, it's only affected 7 people on the island so far.
Manx Care's confirmed it's paying the salary of the medical director seconded to a UK hospital. The story from Sian Cowper.
Dr. Sreeman Andol is currently carrying out clinical work in Liverpool, but Manx Care says his substantive employment remains with the island's healthcare provider and therefore is on its payroll. He also remains the suitable person for Manx Care, meaning he's responsible for doctors' revalidations, appraisals and governance on the island. Prior to his role in Liverpool, Dr. Andol had a spell on secondment with University Hospital of Derby and Burton until October 2023. During this time, his salary was paid by the Derbyshire Hospitals NHS Trust Foundation. Since Dr. Andol began his first secondment in March last year, Dr. Marina Hudson has been in the role of interim medical director. Onkin MHK Julie Edge raised the issue at this week's sitting of the House of Keys, asking Health Minister Laurie Hooper how many medical directors are on Manx Care's payroll.
Manx Care has one substantive executive medical director.
The Minister is not acknowledging the fact that there is currently an interim medical director, but a board structure states there is a substantive post holder. It also states, actually, that it's possible that they're working in a UK National Health Service Trust. Can the Minister advise what the cost of medical directors, the substantive post and the interim post, is to the people of the island?
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. The question was about how many are on the payroll. I've answered that question, and I'm not getting into the discussion of individual employment contracts on the floor of this Honourable House.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The motor vessel Manxman departed Heysham at 2:40 this afternoon. She'll be into Douglas Bay just gone 6 o'clock this evening onto the Lynx Band about 6:15. Departing this evening at 9 o'clock, heading to Heysham, arriving there at 1:15 a.m. The overnight departure from Heysham is at 3 a.m. Back to Douglas at 6:45 tomorrow morning. And the morning departure, Manxman, heads to Heysham from Douglas at 9:15.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
A campaigner from Canada's warning that once assisted dying has been legalised, it's hard to stop the criteria for those eligible being expanded. Similar laws to those being considered on the Isle of Man were introduced in Canada in 2016 before widening the groups able to request an assisted death in 2021. Alex Schadenberg's the chair of the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition. He's been speaking on the Isle of Man.
That's exactly what we were also told in Canada. We were told there's going to be safeguards in this. We will not be like the Netherlands and Belgium, where there have been stories that have been very uncomfortable for us to read, because those cases, you look at that and say, well, how did they approve that death? How could this have happened? You see this in some of the Dutch media, some of these stories. And we were told that that was not going to happen in Canada, and in fact, we're surpassing them. So, that's exactly the reality.
How can that happen?
So in Canada, we had the situation where the original law said you had to be terminally ill, but that was declared to be a form of discrimination. Once legalized, right? To legalize, they had to make sure it was for people who were terminally ill. But once it was legalized, the argument was, well, what about the person who's going through chronic pain but are not terminally ill? Why can they not have it? And well, once you're already doing it, now the whole goalpost moves. So it becomes an issue of equality and discrimination. So you can't treat someone differently. It's not right. It becomes a question of, well, is it okay to discriminate against this person because they're not terminally ill? And the answer was no. So now we're talking about euthanasia for children in Canada. And the exact same arguments been made. Is it not discrimination to deny someone who's not 18 years old called a legal procedure. Well, under that argument, you're absolutely right. That is discrimination to deny someone under the age of 18 a legal euthanasia. Yeah, you're right. That is discrimination. But you can't justify not doing it once you've already legalized. Before you legalize it, you can talk about all your safeguards and everything else, and it seems reasonable because you haven't legalized this yet. But once you've crossed that line and legalized, now the question is the application of it.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
It's 6:15. The UK and European markets were choppy, moving between losses and gains. The dollar inched lower, crude oil jumped, and gold rose as well. In corporate news, Direct Line tumbled today after saying it had received and rejected a second takeover approach from the Belgian rival Ageas as it continues to undervalue the group. The board considered the latest proposal with its advisors and continues to believe the latest proposal is uncertain, unattractive, and significantly undervalues the Direct Line group.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
And the numbers from Ramsey Crookall in London. The FTSE 100 is up 0.3% at the close, 7,772. The DAX in Frankfurt, fractionally down 0.03%, 17,959. In New York City, the Dow Jones Industrials up 0.4%, 39,159. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index down 0.6% at 16,169. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 is down 0.2%, 5,167. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is at $1, 27.9 cents, 1 euro, 16.8 cents, and 23 South African rand, 72.8 cents. In commodities, gold's up 0.7%, $2,173 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude up 2% at $83.69.
I'm running late again. Do you know where I put my car keys?
In the fridge.
Where's my phone?
Under the dog basket.
But
you haven't forgotten that we're seeing Ramsey Crookall later?
Oh, no, of course not. 5 p.m. is it?
3:15.
I'll be there.
Life is busy. That's why Ramsey Crookall's team takes time to help you make a mindful investment decision, considering all the options, giving you full control of your financial future. Less stress, more assurance.
Forgot to put my shoes on.
Oh.
See how we can make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
A Manx resident's been highlighting what difference having an assistance dog has made to her life. Alicia Newsom was diagnosed with a condition at the age of 16, which means she has seizures, but having Wilfred means she can now live independently.
He's a seizure alert assistance dog. His name is Wilfred. He alerts me to my seizures and responds and brings me round.
And how long have you had him?
I've had him since he was 8 weeks old. He's now 4.5. Oh, it's given me complete independence for my life, really. I wasn't able to do anything. I had to still live with my parents and I wasn't able to do any of the adult things I wanted to do. So he's always with me all the time. He just walks along quietly most of the time. But then if I'm going to have a seizure, he double taps on my leg and that lets me know that I'm going to have a seizure. It gives me enough time to sit down, get myself in a nice safe location. I'll have the seizure and then he nuzzles my neck, licks my face and it brings me round. It's a chemical change in the body that he can smell. I didn't know anything about assistance dogs at all, really, but he's not my first assistance dog. I had Marmaduke before him. Marmaduke was a natural responder, so he started doing it himself, and we went from there with his training. But when Marmaduke was getting older in his life and before he passed away, we got Wilfred. I got him trained up to take over.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690-300. Manx Radio Sport.
Fast am I, Rob Pritchard.
Fast am I. Good evening. Starting with motorsport, and James Hillier will reunite with Bournemouth Kawasaki for the 2024 Isle of Man TT races. The team confirmed the news this week, saying Hillier will join them for the Super Sport class on board the outfit's ZX636 in what is the 40th anniversary year for the Kawasaki Ninja machine. The competitor from Ringwood last rode for the team in 2019, following an 11-year spell which included a TT victory and 14 podiums. Furthermore, Bournemouth Kawasaki adds many of those podiums were achieved in the Supersport category, and they'll be pushing hard to add more podiums in 2024. Elsewhere, Hillier will race for the WTF We're the Future racing team on board a Honda Fireblade, also on the Snaefell Mountain course. In cycling, there's been more poor fortunes for Mark Cavendish after he was forced to retire mid-race in today's Milano-Torino one-day event in Italy. His team, Astana Kazakhstan, says Cavendish withdrew after experiencing gastrointestinal discomfort. For the squad, there was some positive results from the contest, as Alexei Lutsenko finished in 10th position. Cavendish won the historic race back in 2022, becoming the first British rider to take victory in it until that point. Cricket now, and Crosby Cricket Club have suffered a third straight defeat in their European Cricket League campaign in Malaga, Spain this afternoon, facing Guernsey-based side Independence. The Manx side set a target of 88 for 9, which their opponents managed to overhaul in just over 8 overs to win by 7 wickets. Crosby's final Group F contest will be against Austrian outfit Donaustadt, which gets underway at around 6:30pm tonight. And finally, in football, FC Isle of Man have confirmed a new date for their NWCFL Premier Division clash away at Charnock Richard. The Ravens have been due to face the Lancashire club away from home this evening. However, the game was called off yesterday due to a waterlogged pitch. It's since been announced today the fixture will now take place at Mossy Park on Tuesday the 16th of April, kicking off at 7:45pm.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound at Ronald's Way, the 525 Loganair from Manchester, touched down about 10 minutes ago. Next, it's the 7:30 EasyJet from London Gatwick, the 5-8 returning patient transfer Loganair from Liverpool, and the 8 o'clock Loganair from London City. They're all showing on time. Outbound, the 6 o'clock Loganair to Liverpool, and the 8 o'clock EasyJet back to London Gatwick. On the roads in Douglas, Hillside Avenue is closed through to Circular Road for adjacent office window replacement. A section of Switzerland Road's closed through to November for construction work. Temporary lights on Brighton Terrace at the Mount Bradder Junction for gas main replacement. In Starvey, face closures on the Starvey Road for water main work. And in Colby, water main work on Ballachill Ferry Road from face closures. Between the Cronk and Sandy Gate, temporary lights on Ballamona Road for water main laying. And Cregna Bar through to Hillbury's got temporary lights on the TT course and a 40 mile an hour speed limit. Between Cronkavoddy and Bagarrow, temporary lights on the TT course near Handley's Corner for drainage work. Temporary lights on the Lazare Road at Kerramore near Sulby for work on the pavements. And between Sulby Bridge and St Jude's, the St Jude's Road's closed for resurfacing. Temporary lights in Onken on Governor's Road between Blackberry Lane and Cork Hills Roundabout for patching work. In Andreas, Kirndrockard Road's closed in phases for water main work. South of Kirkmichael, closures on the Ballalie Road for water main work. And the matrix signs from Hillbury, Sulby, Bagarrow and Ramsey to the mountain showing fog on the mountain road.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest free at Quayside.
Manx Care's exploring the possibility of providing baby loss certificates to those on the Isle of Man who've had a miscarriage. It's after a scheme was introduced in England letting bereaved parents who lose a baby before 24 weeks of pregnancy claim a certificate in recognition of their loss. The Health Minister, Laurie Hooper, MHK, was asked about the plans in the House of Keys.
Losing a baby is a distressing experience for anyone, and having a formal recognition of this devastating loss can help support bereaved parents through their grief. The UK government has launched a voluntary scheme to allow parents to record and receive a certificate to provide recognition of their loss. The certificate is available for either parent to access following a loss under 24 weeks, and the scheme in the UK, in England rather, went live on the 22nd of February this year. Following the launch of this scheme, Manx Care's lead midwife for bereavement care has made inquiries introducing a similar scheme for Manx residents. A meeting was scheduled on the 8th of March with a local charity that supports families who've lost a baby to gain their feedback and expectations around baby loss certificates. Following this, Manx Care plan to have further meetings with the Isle of Man Registrar to discuss and explore the possibility of implementing a similar scheme on the island for Manx residents. Until an official Manx scheme can be introduced, Manx Care Maternity Services will continue to offer parents the option of a commemorative certificate of birth, which is available from the Stillbirth and Neonatal Death Society website.
Update. Brought to you by Simcox Advocates.
Fast Amai, good evening. Thanks for joining Manx Radio. Remember, if you're on social media, you can like Manx Radio on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and if you use Twitter or LinkedIn, follow Manx Radio on your Twitter or LinkedIn feed, and it'll tell you the moment that the update podcast is published and available to listen to. It's usually within 30 minutes of the end of the broadcast, and we really appreciate if you're listening on a podcast anywhere in the world, any time of day or night. You're really welcome. More than £2 million has been spent running the air ambulance service in the last financial year. The story from Tessa Hawley.
The Department of Health and Social Care says it costs around £4,000 to transport each patient to the UK for hospital treatment. The figures have been released in response to a Timor question posed by Russian MHK and Speaker of the House of Keys, Ewan Watterson. He wanted to know the total cost of operating the service in 2023 to 2024 and how value for money is assessed. 600 patient transfers for people who can't use commercial transport were completed up to February this year. This represented an expenditure of £2,382,000. Of these transfers, 27% were categorised as priority 1 and 2, requiring time-critical, immediately life or limb-saving or urgent transfer. 60% were priority 3, which required same-day transfer, and 13% were priority 4, which required a planned transfer within days of the request. The air ambulance service is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, due to its contract with an aviation service provider. It's supported by a Manx Care air ambulance coordinator, with air ambulance doctors also available 24/7 to join transfer practitioners for critical care transfers. Despite significant inflationary pressures, major incidents and increasing demand on the services over the last 6 years, the DHSC says the average cost per transfer has remained steady. This, it says, has been achieved by continuous improvement to service efficiency, which is focused on making best use of contracted hours and already committed flying hours. You can find out more at manxradio.com.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Chanel Suku, producer Amy Griffiths. After the news at 6, the arts programme, Spotlight with Howie King, Greatest Hits at 6:30, Ernie Thorne, the Opera Hour at 9, and Update returns Thursday evening at 5:30 with another half hour about the Isle of Man.
WINT.